We'll get to Dr. Schreiner in just a moment, but we have with us Public Information Officer for the Silverado Fire, Orange County Fire Authority Firefighter Greg Barda. Thank you, sir, for being with us. What's the latest on the Silverado Fire?
Yeah, so the latest right now, we're at 2,000 acres and growing. The fire is being wind-driven. We're experiencing very fast, rapid, erratic wind speeds, which are making it very difficult for us to get a handle on this fire. And currently we have about 500 firefighters on scene and roughly 150 firefighting units, so engines, helicopters, and whatnot, battling this blaze.
Are the water-dropping helicopters still grounded because of the wind?
Yeah, so I just checked on that a moment ago, and currently they are still grounded due to safety concerns at this time. However, we are constantly evaluating that, and as soon as we are able to get them back in the air, we will be doing so.
And how much of that is safety concerns about flying in the high wind versus the water drops not being particularly effective in high winds?
Well, so there are lots of factors that go into those decisions being made. Our aircraft, our helicopters, the pilots and the crew chiefs, they have numerous safety checks they go through. And so they're obviously providing for safety when making those decisions.
What's the latest evacuation numbers?
Yeah, so the latest numbers, we're still at approximately 60,000 people that have been ordered to evacuate. There's roughly 20,000 units in the Orchard Hills community in Irvine that have been ordered to evacuate.
For those who don't know, that is that on the east side of 241 or the west?
So what it basically is the Irvine Boulevard from Bake to Jamboree. Pretty much everything north and east of that is the area that we consider Orchard Hills that we're having evacuations be ordered for.
Okay, so it's essentially above altitude-wise the 241. And at this point, in what direction are the flames going, and were you able to contain where it jumped the 241?
So it did jump the 241. The flames are heading kind of in a south-southwest direction. We have contingency plans in place. We have firefighters in place. Our biggest concern is obviously the citizens and the structures that could be and potentially are threatened. We have located our firefighters in positions that are tactically advantageous so that we can defend homes should they come under siege from the fire.
Okay. And the place where it jumped, the 241, was that extinguished or is that still burning?
So there are many active spots on the fire. And until we actually get in there and even mop up any hot spots, every spot is still considered active until we've fully overhauled this, which is going to be quite some time from now.
Greg Barda, thanks so much for taking the time and updating us on what's happening with the Silverado fire. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Started just before 7 o'clock this morning near Santiago Canyon in the foothills of Orange County, also near Trabuco Canyon, and has burned, as he just said, southwesterly direction toward the 241, where there was a point where it jumped the road. And there is a lot of smoke that's hitting the eastern side of Orange County as a result of that fire. We turn our attention now to COVID-19. We're so pleased to have with us infectious disease specialist at Huntington Hospital in Pasadena, Dr. Kimberly Schreiner. Dr. Schreiner, thank you for being with us again. We hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, I am.
And how are things looking at Huntington? One of the things I was saying is that Pasadena's numbers look pretty good.
They look pretty good. We're having just a teeny little bit of an uptick, which we're going to keep a very close eye on. We all have our eyes on the East Coast and the Midwest and Mountain West, and it's just pretty horrific. So we want to be really vigilant and keep everybody, just pay attention to that, you know, wear your masks, stay socially distant, because we don't want to have a follow suit.
Let's talk about Halloween, because that's coming up this Saturday evening, of course. What are your recommendations for people who would like to do something to celebrate the evening with their kids but stay safe?
Well, it really is all about common sense. I don't recommend trick-or-treating. I think that could be really a very potentially source of transmission. You know, we really are trying to keep people socially distant. I know that a lot of people are sort of trying to figure out ways, you know, putting a bowl of candy outside, but
yeah,
lots of people's hands are going to go into those bowls. And then if you touch a mucous membrane or something, you can basically infect yourself. So unfortunately, as much as we want to have a traditional type of Halloween, I think it's really not the year to do that. You know, having an outdoor display on your lawn where people can walk through the neighborhood with masks on, saying socially distant, or drive through and see it is great. In your own family, you can have a little celebration, a pumpkin carving festival or treats or make some cookies. But in terms of going door to door, and that's just a potential mechanism for transmission. So we really would like to discourage that if possible.
And then, of course, Thanksgiving is coming up just a few weeks after. And we typically have a large group of family. We've already canceled our gathering as a result of COVID-19. But any recommendations for any ways people can socially distance, get together, and still celebrate? Our house is too small, and our outdoor area, it can't handle it. So we can't do it. But are there ways that people could do it safely?
Well, if you have a large outdoor area, backyard or patio that's large enough where people can be pretty far apart, then you can have a smallish gathering, you know, certainly less than 10, maybe even less than 8 is probably prudent. I wouldn't invite high-risk individuals, people that we always want to have our elderly family members there for Thanksgiving because it's so very important, but that really puts them in a very risky position. So this is not the year to have them in your household. You know, not sharing food, maybe having an individual prepare the plates and bring them to you. Tables where you can be quite far apart in an outdoor venue. It's cold, of course, and so colder, and so that may be a limiting factor. But as awful as it is to think about canceling all these wonderful holidays, I think that it's important to keep them very tiny, a small number of people, socially distant, wear masks when you're not visiting, when you're not eating, and really try to keep the risk down. You know, have a big Thanksgiving celebration next summer when we're in better shape and we can really be thankful for something. I think that's the way to do it.
Dr. Schreiner, we're looking at the number of COVID-19 infections increasing in the so-called third wave in parts of the country, and the numbers there are higher than what we saw in the first two waves, and yet we're not seeing that rate of hospitalization. We're not seeing the fatality rate, anything like it was earlier. So what's going on here?
Well, the first thing is that the third surge here, if you will, is built on top of already a very high level of disease. You know, we have we really don't have this thing under control in this country, and so we have areas where there's already a high level of disease, and then you're adding to it. The second thing is what we're seeing is a lot of spread into rural areas where they basically hadn't had it before, and so you have kind of virgin populations, if you will, and so lots and lots of people are getting sick in areas in small towns and so forth. I'm very worried that what's happening is we haven't yet seen the commensurate rise in deaths. That may be because part of that is moving through populations that are lower risk, younger people. That's certainly a possibility. But I also fear that we just aren't far enough into it. And what's a big concern is in some of these small towns and rural areas is they have very limited healthcare capacities. And you can see that in some states, such as Wisconsin, some of their hospitals are beginning to reach maximum capacity. And that's just because as the pandemic moves through the populations that don't get sick, it travels into populations that are high risk that are going to require hospitalization. And that's when we're going to see the deaths go up.
Well, you know this better than anyone because Huntington Hospital took so many patients from Imperial County where the hospitals there were overwhelmed in the first wave.
Yeah, and I think I know that they're doing that in some of the states. Back East is transporting them around to hospitals that can take them. But, you know, if you have a small town that has two or three ICU beds, you know, it's not going to take very much to get them to be just overextended and start beginning to not being able to keep up. So it's a pretty horrific thing. And we're only at the beginning of kind of this fall-winter thing. You know, it's cold back there. This is probably a function of people moving back indoors and being close together, in addition to some other super spreader events that may have kind of contributed to this.
Dr. Kimberly Schreiner, Pasadena's Huntington Hospital, with us, infectious disease specialist. Liz in Southgate says, what are the recommendations you're giving for people who are flying during the pandemic? Liz says she travels by airplane a lot. What are the things you recommend for those who need to do it?
Well, Flying is a high-risk behavior, so unless you absolutely have to fly, I don't recommend it. It really is not a safe thing to be doing right now. Keeping the middle seat empty is not going to be protective. Many airlines, international airlines, are requiring COVID testing, so that is something that you have to look into. If you do have to fly, and that really is you have to fly, then you need to, you know, wear appropriate masking. If you can get your hands on an N95 or a KN95, I would recommend wearing that through the whole flight. You need to cover wash down your seat a little bit with some hand sanitizer if you can. I think there's some covers now that you can put on seats to protect you a little bit, but it is a high-risk activity. You're sitting in a small cabin with recirculated air, and there's very likely somebody on board who doesn't know they have coronavirus, and that's the big problem, Larry, is these asymptomatic people, they seem to be driving the pandemic. They don't know they're infected, and yet they're passing the virus on to many, many different people.
So there was a recent study, I thought, that showed that the air filtration on aircraft is actually quite good. It is,
but we know that transmission occurs. There's also been a very well-documented study looking at aerosolization during a flight. And it's not even just on the aircraft. It's traveling through the airport where you have lots and lots of people, the gantry onto the aircraft where you're crowded next to each other. We know that transmission occurs on aircraft, and yes, the airlines do make an effort to try to do HIPAA filters and filter the system, but it's really a pretty high-risk activity. And so unless you have to do it, I don't recommend it.
We're talking with Dr. Kimberly Schreiner, Huntington Hospital. Last week, Governor Newsom said the FDA, after FDA approval of any COVID-19 vaccines, that California will conduct its own review. Do you think that that is a good or necessary thing, Dr. Schreiner?
I think it is important that we be transparent, we look at the data, because we want people to get vaccinated, and we want people to think that they're safe. I want a safe vaccine. I'm going to get vaccinated, but I want to make sure that it's safe and effective. I mean, those are really big tests for this, and I think there's already a lot of suspicion about vaccines and misinformation about vaccines, and so the public is going to be a little reticent, I think, to line up to take the vaccine. So I think it's important, whatever layers you can put in to evaluate the efficacy of the vaccine and the safety of it are prudent for the public to accept it.
And finally, Dr. Schreiner, where we stand with all the different phase 3 trials of vaccines, are you seeing any that look particularly promising?
I think some of them are. I mean, they're not. We don't really have. We're not privy to a lot of the data because they're still blinded trials. But I think that AstraZeneca's released some early information that it seems to look promising. That older people seem to be able to develop immunity. The Moderna vaccine also seems to be looking that way. So I'm hopeful that we're going to have some good results. Probably by the end of the year, we may be able to have some preliminary information about whether they're going to be protective. The big question, I think, Larry, is going to be how long is that immunity going to last? And that's a really important question for vaccines.
Dr. Schreiner, as always, we appreciate you so much. Pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Larry. Thank you.
Thank you. Huntington Hospital in Pasadena. Infectious disease specialist Dr. Kimberly Schreiner, one of our all-star physicians, joins us with the very latest on COVID-19. I just want to take a moment to thank you again for your generous support of Air Talk. The 3 days that ended last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, extraordinary levels of support. Thursday and Friday were both historic highs for us. It was just astounding to see the degree of support, and I can't thank you enough. I was on a high all weekend, even with the Dodger debacle Saturday night, thinking of your support of Air Talk and KPCC. It means so much to us. Thank you. When we come back, we'll talk about, with all this time that we're spending at home, how houseplants are becoming a higher priority. It'd be a chance for you to ask questions about your houseplants. And we're also going to talk about landscaping, because, of course, people are spending a lot of time in their yards if they've got them. We'll be back with that in just 90 seconds here on Air Talk.